As I watch the evening news, I find that I lose hope. Some of the world's leaders seem to be wreckers, want to play with war, whether it's Trump, Putin, China, the Middle East. There seems to be this rockiness in the world that I'm not used to, and yet we are powerless. What can we do about this? And I feel hopeless. Then they talk about the finances. Every time in human history that there's been a pandemic, it's followed by the danger of inflation and recession. So there's the there's the 1918 pandemic, there's the Roaring Twenties, and then comes the Great Depression. So our central banks have been trying very hard not to let us fall off this razor blade on either of those two sides. And yet they talk every night about financial crisis, price of housing and food going up, and we are powerless, and I feel hopeless. Then there's decline of faith in Western society, and so we all have brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren, parents, friends who no longer worship, and I feel hopeless. Then there's health issues, our own and our friends and family. And I feel helpless. Then there's funerals and death of friends and family, and I feel hopeless. And then there's my own stuff-ups and regrets of my life in the past and things that I did, said to friends, family, children, and I feel hopeless. Well, I've got good news for you. The God of hope has a plan for Christmas. Christmas is God's plan of hope for no-hopers like me and perhaps you. For Adam and Eve, who were no-hopers. Who Abraham and Sarah, who were no-hopers. People like us. After Adam and Eve wrecked our world with sin, God promised a Savior would be born, and he would defeat sin and crush Satan. And the Old Testament promises that before the Savior would come, the one like Elijah, who in this case is John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Savior. So that's where our story starts. In the days of King Herod the Great, he's called great because he was a great builder. He built the temple in Jerusalem, which was one of the ancient world wonders, and was covered with gold plate. You know that thin gold that they use in the cooking shows? They put that on the temple. And he built that impregnable, the undefeatable fortress called Masada. But he was a tyrant. There were secret police. He killed most of his family because he believed they were going to try and get his throne from him. And before he died, he ordered the soldiers to round up many of the famous people in the country. They were all locked up in Jericho, and the plan was that when he died, they should all be murdered because he wanted the country to go into mourning, and he was afraid they wouldn't mourn when he died. It's in these horrible days of no hope that in these dark days of Herod, the message of hope, the Christmas message of hope in the dark days, in the days of war, sickness, death of loved ones, and in our case, climate change and stuff-ups. Zechariah and Elizabeth, the Bible says, were righteous, so they're good people, they worshiped God, but there were no hopers. They were childless. In their society, that was a big deal. A, they missed the joy of having children, and every time Elizabeth saw other women dandling their children on their lap, you can imagine how she felt as a no-hoper. They were missing that joy of having children. But also, everyone thought if you didn't have children, it was because you were a sinner and God was punishing you. So there was the public opinion against them. And there was no government pension. When you got old, it was your children who were supposed to look after you. If you had no children, who was going to look after you? Who would actually buy food, or where would you have a place to live? So they had their plan of retirement was gone, never existing. And of course, every month when a period came the tears. Month after month, they felt hopeless until finally those months never happened anymore. Zechariah was a priest. We believe there are about 20,000 priests in Jerusalem in the days of Jesus. It was the place, if you were a priest, where you wanted to live, of course, so there were lots there. They were divided, there were so many, they were divided in 24 gangs, and each gang only got to work in the temple for 2 weeks. The rest of the year, they were free. They had to be farmers or whatever else they did. Every morning, there was the morning sacrifice. One of 20,000 priests got to walk into the temple. Not very far, but he got to walk into the temple. One in the evening and one in the morning, the time of prayer. So Zechariah was chosen by lot. Most of the 20,000 never, ever got to walk inside the temple building itself. They were out in the courtyards. Zechariah got chosen. This is amazing. The temple courtyard was about 24 football fields big, but the temple itself wasn't that big. Zechariah went up the steps to this golden building. He walked into the foyer. He walked into the temple nave itself, and on his left was that great menorah, the seven-branch candelabra, and on his right was the holy bread, and in front of him was the place where you put the fire and the incense. He walked up to do that, and he was supposed to say a set prayer and then walk back outside and bless the people. Easy. He was a nervous wreck, of course. He was also supposed to pray for the Messiah to come. He was doing the liturgy. He didn't expect anything. You know what happens when you're doing the liturgy? That's what you're doing. You're not always expecting anything. An angel appeared to this no-hoper. And the angel said, God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. Yohanan, which means, Yo means God, and Hanan means grace. God is gracious. Awesome. John's job was to prepare people for Jesus, the Savior. It was part of God's plan for no-hopers. Of course, Zechariah was, wow, awesome, excited, overjoyed. Well, no, he wasn't. He was filled with doubt. Give me a sign. He's such an his spirit is so crushed and no hope. He doesn't believe the angel. Give me a sign. Give me something to hold on to. Why did Zechariah doubt? He's being logical. His wife is old. She hasn't had a period in years. You know, guys, when we get old, things don't work. He's logical. You know, he's not dumb. Ancient people were just as aware of these things as we are. They can't have a baby. It's logical. He is crushed by his own hopelessness. He's looking at himself, not at God, what he could do or what Elizabeth could do. Are you a no-hoper? You're in good company. Abraham and Sarah were in the same situation. Moses didn't believe he could lead the people. Thomas didn't believe Jesus came alive. He said, unless I stick my hand in the nail and my hand in the wound, I'm not going to believe. And the man who had the son that was having some sort of fits and falling into the fire said, I believe, help my unbelief. Yeah, if we have those doubts, if we are crushed by doubts sometimes, you're kind of a normal Christian. The angel says, well, since you didn't believe, you're going to have a sign. The sign is you won't be able to talk. How's that for a priest? How's that for a pastor? God kept his promise. He blesses Zechariah, the no-hoper, and they have a child, John. Jesus was born for no-hopers. He took a human body for no-hopers like you and me. He was nailed to the cross for my sins and your sins, the sins of no-hopers. He rose from the dead to give hope to those who have no hope. He promised the Holy Spirit to those who have no hope. He said, I am with you always to those who have no hope. And he promised eternal life, that he goes to prepare a place for us. Now, meanwhile, outside the temple, in that huge temple court of the 24 football field, you can imagine the number of people who would be there for the morning prayer. He's supposed to walk back out, do that blessing that we used to always end the service with, the Lord bless you and keep you. Well, he walks out and he can't talk. He can't talk. The whole crowd is there waiting to be blessed. He can't talk. He was in there so long, they thought, oh my goodness, has he had a heart attack? Did God strike him dead? He's such a bad person. Comes out and he can't talk. He goes home and the miracle happens. Elizabeth is pregnant. And John does his job of preparing people for the Savior. Okay, what does this mean for us? God still works when we are crushed by hopelessness in a world full of wreckers who seem to be throwing the apple cart up. You know, it's like, let's just shake the tablecloth and see what happens to the knives and forks and the cups and saucers. This is Trump, right? Let's find out what happens. Okay, so we got a bunch of those around the world right now. The wreckers of the world. God still works. Even in when they talk about financial crisis, God still works. Even though there is decline of faith in the West, God still works. Even though we or our friends have, or family members have health issues, God still works. Even our own stuff-ups, the things that we regret from our past, God still works. Zechariah did not expect God to answer his prayer. God uses no hopers. About the second or third Good Friday, when I was just a pastor, so I'm at my second or third Good Friday, I was standing facing the altar, and I was swept with a feeling of, my sermon's no good. I don't even know if I believe in Jesus. I wish these people would go away. I want to go home. Of course, they didn't go away. And I still had to turn around and do the whole service and the sermon in the midst of this crippling doubt that I was too naive to know that this might be a satanic attack. You know, anyway. Too crippled under my own stuff. And yet, people are still blessed by God's word even when we are in trouble ourselves. God uses no hopers like me. Or the father who said his son was falling down and sometimes falling into the fire. He said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Do you feel like you're losing hope in this world of wreckers? And find out, and they keep liking to tell us that we're in financial crisis if we didn't know, you know. Like, I don't think it's that, you know, like, I don't think I'm hurting. But I'm told I'm hurting. Very disturbing. Even in a time of decline of faith in the West, health issues, our stuff-ups, our regrets, God is still working. My parents stopped going to church for 40 years. So sometime after I came to Australia, my parents stopped going to church. I prayed every day for them. No hope. You know, like, no hope. But I prayed every day for them. 2 years before they died, before my mother died, I visited them and I went to a nearby Lutheran church. And they, of course, went to a restaurant. They didn't even sleep in. They went to a restaurant while I went to church. They asked where I went. I told them, you know, I didn't have much transport, so it was the closest church. The next week, while I was back in Australia, they went to that church. And one of the pastors, happened to be a female pastor, came up and said to my mother, you must be Jimmy's mother. She had my mother in the palm of her hands. They went to church for the next 2 years and died in faith. I did not expect God to answer my prayer, right? I'm a doubter. Some of you probably don't understand what I'm saying when I'm a doubter, but I'm a natural doubter. If there's an option of doubt, that's the one I've often taken. God worked anyway in my doubt-filled prayers. I was shocked. I didn't expect God to do anything, just like Zechariah at the altar, who did not expect God to answer his prayer. I was looking at myself. What could I do? My parents in America, I can't tell my parents what to do. Christmas is a message of hope in dark days. I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus was born for no hopers. He got a human body for no hopers like you and me. He was nailed to the cross for the sins of no hopers like you and me. He rose from the dead for no hopers like you and me. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Now, like, you know those cartoons where there's an angel on one side and the devil on the other? That voice that tells you not to believe, that's Satan's. And that strange voice that encourages you to believe, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We took that away, we'd just be hearing one voice. So the strange thing is, we do have that voice who calls us to worship, that calls us to faith. And Jesus has promised, I am with you always. And he's also promised you a forever body, a new, a young, a strong, a healthy body, a forever body, eternal life, and he's gone to prepare a place for you. Christmas is God's plan of hope for no hopers like you and me. And now we go to a call meeting filled with hope that God will guide us. For we believe that all things work together for good for those who love God. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit.